So, Libinson, thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome.
You are in Juneau, Alaska today. What attending an Arctic Council meeting there? Tell me what are you trying to do? What's the goal of your participation there?
Well, we are actually the Arctic Council is meeting in Juneau, Alaska, but of special interest to my organization and my colleagues is that the Secretary General of the International Maritime Organization has also come to this meeting to address the Arctic Council. And we are going to have some side meetings with him. And the International Maritime Organization sets international law for shipping. And as shipping is expanding in the Arctic, there's quite a focus on what the rules will be for shipping in the Arctic Ocean. And that's for all of the Arctic, so Canada, U.S., Russia, the European Arctic, Greenland as well. So we're very interested to meet with the Secretary General, and we've set up some opportunities for him to meet with the indigenous representatives to the Arctic Council. So we'll have quite a few different indigenous organizations from Arctic nations sitting down with the Secretary General, and as well he'll meet with the U.S. Coast Guard.
The Polar Code came into effect on January 1st. There has been some criticism leveled at the code. People say that, first of all, it doesn't cover the entire Arctic Circle, unlike the Southern Pole, where the entire Antarctic Circle is included in the area. Some people have said that it has rather vague regulations when it comes to things like ballast water and anti-fouling measures. Are you planning to raise any concerns on the Polar Code with the Secretary General?
Yes, there's a couple topics that we're really focused on currently. The one is the lack of indigenous representation at the IMO, which is not specific to the Polar Code, but with so many different rules being developed for the Arctic, we think it's important that Arctic indigenous communities have a stronger voice. So that's a procedural matter of huge importance. And then specific to shipping rules, the Arctic Council in 2009 did an overview of all impacts related to Arctic shipping, which are many, but of all the different impacts, they identified a potential oil spill of heavy fuel oil as being the number one risk or threat posed by Arctic shipping. And in the Antarctic, the IMO has banned the use of heavy fuel oil for similar reasons. If you had a spill of heavy fuel oil, it's the worst case scenario, the most toxic type of spill. There's essentially no real opportunity to respond to oil spills in these remote locations. And then if there were, the cleanup is most difficult. So looking for shipping to use less toxic fuels or less dangerous fuels, such as diesel or liquefied natural gas. So in the Arctic, this has been discussed, but has not come into effect. So we are really advocating that the IMO begin discussions to come up with some kind of rules for regulating heavy fuel oil in the Arctic. And in December of last year, actually, then-President Obama and Prime Minister Trudeau did sign a joint statement in which they committed that the U.S. and Canada would come forward and ask for the IMO to start working on this. So we're waiting to see if that happens. There's a deadline, March 31st, on that. So that's one topic. Within the Polar Code as well, there is a requirement for mariners to avoid marine mammals while traveling in Arctic waters, which for obvious reasons, to avoid ship strikes, disturbance, and then the effects that that would have on both the animals as well as disrupting hunting for Arctic communities. So that is in the polar code, but the rules and the practicality of that needs to be worked out.